join Jason on a spiritual and musical journey to becoming relentlessly awesome every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. only on CITR. By the way, you're awesome.
Shameless 101.9 CITR. Oh, you're sitting in the beautiful city of Vancouver. Oh, you're listening to Shameless 101.9 CITR. You're listening to Shameless Vancouver.
Rage is key to rap. You got to understand that, right? Rage is vital. You have that fire in your belly. You know, I think of all my mates who rap. They you could give them a topic like police, race, politics. You know, anything will get them fired up. It'll inspire their lyrics. I mean, me, I couldn't get angry and start rapping about politics. Do you know what I mean? I'm too much of a fence sitter. Too wishy-washy. I'm apathetic. You know, me, I'll be like, fuck Nick Clegg, he's a wannabe. However, I do agree with some of his policies. But it does make me wonder, is there anything, is there any one topic that could get me fired up enough to come back and take the rap game by storm? You know? And then I realized, right, there is one thing, there's only one thing that could make me near homicidal. Yeah, this is called my property. Right? I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. I bring you to my house as a friend in my kitchen. You offered to make the tea. Naturally, I say yes, you're my guest, so I take the offer gratefully. But then what I see made my heart burst. You only gone and put the fucking milk in first. No, you must be out of your mind. Looks like you went and poured about half a pint. Now even with the boiling water, my tea's already lukewarm. Man, where the fuck were you born? Now you destroyed a thing that was sacred. Pour it down the sink, let me show you how to make it. Back in first, pour the water on top. Sharp man, I'll tell you when to stop. Then you know exactly how much milk is required. Making assumptions on how I like it. Whoa, 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 what are you doing? Don't let the tea bag sit there brewing. You gotta stir straight away, don't stop. Otherwise you get a weird scum on the top. Where's that stuff?
And now you put my sugar in, what'd you leave it for? Didn't even stir it in, you're unbelievable. What'd you think it would disintegrate itself? Bruv, you need to go and see a shrink and get some help. You chose the wrong brother's cuppa to mess with. Now go get me your mother digestive. Stay the hell away from my cup, bitch. Don't even meddle with my kettle, don't touch it. Man, go sit down, go watch telly. And give me back my teaspoon, bruv, you're not ready.
Man, such class. I'm afraid the next hour and a half isn't going to sound quite so posh, because it is time for Shameless with I, Jonathan Brown, here on 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver. But the show I have planned is still pretty good, because not only will I be playing some tracks from my favorite album so far this year, the soundtrack to the video game Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery, but I'll be in conversation with the album's creator, none other than Jim Guthrie. He's also been a member of Islands, and he's also done the soundtrack to indie game The Movie. In theaters now, he gets around. The music, though, reminds me of why I like music in the first place. It adds so many dimensions, even to video game playing, which is something I do quite a bit. So, if your servers have crashed with all your Diablo 3 playing, might I suggest listening to the rest of this show? Because now, from the solid import of Doc Brown's My Property, which I just clued in, is a play on words. Property. Property. Get it? Yeah. The best way to carry on this show is with a solid export that is Vancouver's own Brasternauts. They have toured the world, and they make records like this new one of theirs, Mean Sun, it is called. just came out a couple of days ago. And here, for you, is Falklands.
Get rid of it. Future. listen to the countdown. Slowly getting further. Slowly getting further away. And I can feel the moment. Slowly getting closer. Slowly getting closer now. My work will not be done till I return. The shadows to the sun, moonwalker. Leaving footprints in the gray. Same man, they're on the ground.
to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca. Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the UBC Westside area at
The Australian Boot Company, Banyan Books, The Bike Kitchen, The Eatery, Fresh's Best Salsa, Gargoyle's Grill, Gumdrops, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and the UBC Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
Playing this Saturday at the Biltmore, they were Mode Modern with Radio Heartbeat from their LP entitled Ghosts Emerging. And that will be an early show too, 8 p.m. start time. Personally, I really dig their Joy Division sensibilities. I know a lot of people will say too many bands in Vancouver try and sound like Joy Division, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And before that, we had two new tracks by Brastronaut off their latest release, Mean Sun. They were Falklands and Moonwalker. I've heard Tarek of Brastronaut doing Moonwalker at his solo acoustic sets for ages now, so it's cool to see him get that song the full band treatment. Coming up now on Shameless, some new local music from an artist I interviewed back this past summer named Shaky Snakes. I really got inside of his music process, inside of his apartment, and I've really come to appreciate how he makes music. You can also hear that podcast up at CITR.ca, of course. But here's some new stuff from Shaky Snakes himself. The album is titled Del Boca Vista. Yes, that is a Seinfeld retirement home reference. And the track is as picturesque as it sounds. Clark Drive Sunrise on 101.9 FM, CITR. We'll be right back.
do. He's always coming with something new. He'll steal your heart with a false pretense, make you now like he's your bruise-on prince. Well, if you don't want to get in trouble, if you don't want to get in trouble, if you don't want to get in trouble, better let that liar in alone. When a liar takes the notion to bend and prove, he'll lay around his neighbors and get the news. And nearly every day when you look out, you catch that liar coming to your house. If you don't want to get in trouble, if you don't want to get in trouble, if you don't want to get in trouble, better let that liar alone. He'll study up a lie, he'll tell it so smooth, you'll think absolutely that it must be true. He'll urge you out for to trace the tale, and if you don't mind, you'll be put in jail. If you don't want to get in trouble, if you don't want to get in trouble, if you don't want to get in trouble, better let that liar alone. To lie, to surprise your mind, mix a little truth for to make it shine. When he gets his business fixed just right, well then that liar's gonna cause a fight. If you don't want to get in trouble, if you don't want to get in trouble, if you don't want to get in trouble, better let that liar alone. Everything is in perfect peace, along come the liar with his deceit. A hypocrite liar both kicks up a fuss, they're both very bad, but a liar is the worst. Well, if you don't want to get in trouble, if you don't want to get in trouble, if you don't want to get in trouble, better let that liar alone.
Sumner Brothers, you better let that liar alone on Shameless on 101.9 FM. CITR, there just happens to be a great article in CITR's own issue of Discorder by Alex DeBoer about the Sumner Brothers and their For the Sake of the Song Sundays, once held at the Great River Vintage on Commercial Drive. That place might not be anymore, but the gigs live on at the China Cloud. Next one should be announced fairly soon, on a Sunday, I'm assuming. But the Sumner Brothers themselves are playing the Biltmore next Tuesday with Portage and Maine in support of Vancouver Craft Beer Week. Those lads know how to get behind a good cause, let me tell you. Also in that set was Needles and Pins. They're doing an LP release at the Astoria next Saturday with The Jolts and Korean Gut also on the bill. And then Needles and Pins will head across the country on tour, spreading the good word of Vancouver punk all across this land. Jim Guthrie's coming up here on Shameless. We'll chat about his endeavors in indie music and soundtracks. But first, here's his contribution with Islands off their debut, Return to the Sea. Here's Where There's a Will, There's a Whalebone. Also, Dan Beckner is on this track as well. Further proof, he is in everything. And thirdly, Nick Thorburn of Islands was on Letterman last night on stage performing with, of all people, LP, El Producto. Most badass rapper I've ever seen. Small world, small world. Anyway, here's Where There's a Will, There's a Whalebone.
Hide out if anyone finds out. Turn the lights out.
Hey. stay here.
Never to be rude,
boy.
He dresses like a gangster.
He wrestled with an hamster.
He's here to get you all in the nude,
boys
and girls.
It's not just this same old show on your radio. Scotty's Scenic Drive, Monday, 11 afternoon, 101.9 FM, CITR Vancouver.
Winnie Cooper presents the Thursday Concert Series at 560. With one of the biggest video walls in North America, 560 is quickly becoming one of the nicest venues Vancouver has to offer. It currently houses four floors, each presenting you with a different musical vibe. In the coming months, the Thursday Concert Series will showcase some of the biggest local and international acts to hit town. The Thursday Concert Series at 560 Club, located at 560 Seymour Street in Vancouver, BC, presented by Winnie Cooper.
FM CITR, broadcasting out of our HD studios in Vancouver. Coming off the soundtrack to the iOS-based video game Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery, that was COM 64. Yes, referencing the classic video game console by Toronto-based artist Jim Guthrie. I've been a fan of video game music for a lot of years. I know when I say video game music, one familiar tune comes to mind. And rightfully so, it's a classic piece of music that's really stood the test of time. But video game tunage has really changed a lot over the years. So the soundtrack's power over my experience with video games first hit me when I was playing my old Sega CD system. Now for those too young to remember, think about how cool the Xbox Kinect looks versus how cool it actually is, and you'll have the Sega CD. Mine came packed with a copy of Echo the Dolphin, a game that I played the hell out of back on the Sega Genesis 2. Now, on that system, you plug it in and you get music like this. But then, the Sega CD version of Echo the Dolphin will give you this on the same level of the game. Actual dolphins were recorded for that game, too. You didn't do much in the platform but swim around and make some noises, but hearing this in the background really made it that much more desperate to find your pod. And even my mom, at the time, would say, "Hey son, play that dolphin game again." The soundtrack has been a strong element to video game experiences over the years, treading that fine line between being overpowered and being obnoxious, like in Spider-Man,
hanging tough, just enough,
to subtly effective, like in Sonic the Hedgehog. music and games has come a long way, but always remains true to its roots. Some artists manage to craft new styles with a classic appeal. Artists such as Jim Guthrie, who has had a lengthy solo career as a singer-songwriter, appearing on albums from Islands to Human Highway, but he also produces music on his own, such as the soundtrack to indie game The Movie, even using a PlayStation to create his music. His soundtrack work has also earned him the 2012 Canadian Video Game Award for Best Music in a Video Game for Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery EP, which is also available on LP. Jim Guthrie is on the line right now. The first thing I'm intrigued to know is, how have things changed for you since Sword and Sorcery has been released?
The best way to describe it, I mean, like, first of all, you know, meeting these guys, the team that put the game together, Cabby Games, Craig Adams, you know, Chris, who worked on the game, just meeting all those guys and the indie gaming scene, that was just a huge thing for me. Even before the game had done really well, or even before we really decided we were going to make a game, that really changed my life in terms of just like meeting those guys. They're all really smart and funny and really good at what they do. And it's a lot like the indie rock scene, I guess, in the sense that, you know, they're just a bunch of guys who really love what they do and have a lot of ideas and who like to go out and drink beer and talk about those ideas, you know, and just sort of and work really hard. And so, you know, it's a lot like, I guess, the people I was making music with before. So that was pretty amazing to sort of learn about that whole other world that was going on, you know, sort of just down the street from me or whatever. So, and then when the game came out and the music and all that and the album came out along with it, I just was reaching a lot of people that I'd never, who had never heard my stuff before through the game, you know. So it's just been a very lucky, sort of amazing experience to have worked with these guys and reached so many more people than I probably normally would have in the sort of indie rock world.
How did you come to meet the Sword and Sorcery crew?
Started off first with Craig Adams in about 2004, 2005. He was just a fan of the label that I used to be on, Three Gut Records, the label that I co-founded with some other friends. And he was just a fan of the records that I was putting out then. And he sent a letter to the house where the label headquarters were, just saying that he dug our stuff and he had some artwork in the mail there, and I loved his stuff, and I just sent him a message back, and I just said, you know, yeah, let's hang out sometime, or, you know, his artwork was just really kind of simple but really moody, and it was some of the pixel stuff, his like earlier pixel work. And it just really kind of hit me, and so we started hanging out, and then it wasn't until 2009, like probably 4 or 5 years later, that Sword and Sorcery sort of became an option when Cappy Games asked Craig if he would do a game with them, because they were just a small game company, and they were sort of always looking for cool new people to work with. So they asked him if he had any ideas for a game, or if they'd want to work on a game together. And he was, you know, he was really into it. And he had sort of worked in gaming before, but not really making his own stuff. He worked at a game company, I forget the name of it. But, you know, he had never really made a game, you know, from scratch before. And so when they asked him, he said, you know, it'd be great if we get Jim involved because I like his music. And we just basically went from there. And then I guess here we are in 2012, and the game's been out for like a year or more. And, yeah, it's done really well, so we're pumped.
So you've also done the soundtrack to indie game The Movie.
Yes.
Was this is your first foray into video game music?
Yeah, video game music. Yeah, yeah. I've done like work for like different film and TV and ads and like friends' websites and short films and made lots of records and played music with people, and you know, I guess I've just been making music for a long time, and I might sort of, back in the day, I might have been known for more of my kind of singer songwriter stuff, but you know, I make lots of different kinds of music, and I don't even really have a plan when it comes to what it is I should or shouldn't be doing with my music. I just sort of follow like whatever sound sort of grabs my ear, and if a cool project comes up and I have time for it, I'll say yes to anything. So yeah, when the video game stuff came up, you know, when Sword and Sorcery came along, it was almost exactly what I wanted to do at that point, because I hadn't been writing so many songs, sort of like singer-songwriter songs. And I'd been doing a lot of like soundtracks or film and TV and some advertising stuff. So I was really in sort of an instrumental headspace, and Sword and Sorcery was like the perfect dream thing for me to work on.
What attracts you to video game soundtracks?
Well, I'm not sure that I'm attracted to video game soundtracks as much as I'm attracted to the games that the soundtracks are in, I guess. It really, like, Sword and Sorcery just really, right from the start, like the way that Craig talked about it and sort of described it and tried, and a lot of the early art that he'd shown me and shown the team, it really just was something different, and it really kind of affected me, like, emotionally, or it really spoke to me, and it really, like, it was just something that I wanted to, it was a place that I wanted to be, like, when you looked at the little worlds that he was creating. And they were they were clearly trying to do something in games that you don't really see too often, and that's really kind of created a mood and an atmosphere, and I love that. I love that about film, too. You know, I love films that are, like, really slow-moving and just really look great and really moody and emotional, and I don't know, it just sort of spoke to this aesthetic that I like in, you know, in films and in other games. Some games do that, can do that well, too, but yeah, Sword and Sorcery was, I guess, trying a few new things that I hadn't really seen before.
I was just curious, how does making a video game soundtrack differ from making music you would otherwise make for yourself?
I don't know that it's that different in that, like, it's all, you know, it all just comes from this sort of, like, from, like, inspiration, you know, and who knows where that comes from. But it's really, like, you sort of have to think of it from, like, project to project. I sort of really look at it in, like, a practical way, you know, if I'm writing songs that I'm going to sing lyrics on, and they're, you know, thoughts and feelings or whatever that I'm having, it's a totally different thing than if I'm writing or a video. I mean, it almost sounds like a little too obvious, but really when you just look at the sort of end sort of result that you want to get out of it, or when you look at exactly what it is that you're working on, like if I'm writing emotional kind of songs or whatever, like intimate songs or songs about me and my life, then yeah, it's a lot different than I would approach it, and sort of I would get sort of inspiration from different places than if I were to write music for like a fantasy, you know, like adventure kind of game. But, you know, but for this, it's me. I was playing all the instruments and doing all the recording and everything for the game soundtrack. It wasn't like I was jamming with a drummer and like a guitar player and bass player or anything like that. I wasn't like in a band or anything. So, you know, it's a lot lonelier, and it's a lot, but it's really fun. I mean, it's work that I love. I love to sit in my basement all by myself, trying to dream up these songs.
Here's another of Jim Guthrie's creation from the soundtrack to Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery, Lone Star. When you set out to create a record like Children of the Clone, where do you draw inspiration to create such a soundscape?
You know, that one also, too, was sort of like, it was the process or the tools that I used that informed what the music was going to sound like. It's usually, you know, I like to work under sort of a set of rules, or just sort of understand it in a way that's like, you know, sort of a smaller version of what it is I have to achieve. Because when I have, like, too many options, I almost get lost, and I get depressed, and I can't focus, you know. So if I'm just like, so for the Children of the Clone, that was done on a PlayStation using a piece of software called MTV Music Generator, it's called. And it's like a really sort of simple version of like a DAW or like a sequencer that you might get on your desktop. You know, it's a PlayStation, so it doesn't have a lot of memory or RAM or anything like that. It has like a set of tools, has a bunch of synths, and you can, you know, get beats and melody. You can draw different, you know, like melodies and stuff using the game controller, you know, in this sort of interface that they've created. It was a really quirky, kind of different way of looking at music and thinking about how to make music. So that really, I really got all my inspiration from that piece of software. You know, it was just a really different, weird way of making music that I'd never really experienced before. I had never really made any, I guess, like synthetic music or synth music or sort of electro anything before that. I'd noodled with, you know, sort of like hardware synths and stuff, but nothing like software based or nothing sort of in the box. Oddly enough, the PlayStation was my first foray into making like electronic music.
This program sounds like a cool version of Mario Paint.
It's kind of Mario Paint on roids, but not quite as, you know, like sophisticated as like Pro Tools or Logic or whatever. It really is a lot like Mario Paint. I've only played Mario Paint like once or twice over a friend's place a long time ago, but it's kind of like that. But yeah, like you can put like reverbs and effects and pan and do all kinds of stuff. Like it's kind of a little more sophisticated, but like a little neutered in a lot of ways as well. Like, so it's a real challenge to just kind of wrap your head around those sets of rules that they've set up, you know, and those sounds. And you can't like, you know, you can't like sample or I mean, you actually can sample. I lied, because you can sample from a CD source. It's kind of a cool feature in the game where you take the game out for a second when you put it into sample mode. You take the game out and you put in a CD, and you can sample like a snare hit or like something. You can sample for like 3 seconds before it runs out of memory. So I would often sample like, you know, like a single note from my guitar or like the piano or whatever, and then put it in the game, and then draw out my melodies and all that through using that sample. And you get really cool sound. It's really basic and really kind of gritty. But yeah, it's actually, like, I would like to meet the people who wrote that software. I don't know who's behind that, but it's really, really smart software. Because they only had so much sort of power from a PlayStation 2. Like, the PlayStation isn't, you know, it's not like a mammoth piece of, you know, hardware, whatever. So the game was written really well, and it sort of got me started. I guess that was back in 2000, probably like, yeah, 2000 or so.
Thank you.
from his album Children of the Clone. That was Jimmy's Lament by Jim Guthrie on 101.9 FM CITR. And Jim, I'd like to know, what were you lamenting?
You know, I think it's just a general lament about being alive. You know, it's more of, there's no kind of a specific lament. You know, the song, after I finished it, I just seemed kind of overly dramatic in some way, and it was almost me making fun of myself in a way. I sometimes like to throw my name in the title of a song or sort of poke fun at myself in some way. I don't know, it's hard to explain, but that one's, it's more just an inside joke to myself. It's really, it's not like my dog died or my girlfriend left me at the time or whatever, you know, it was just a general lament.
Now, if we could rewind for a sec, you were also present on Island's Return to the Sea record, which I think is probably where I'd first come to know
Okay. The
world of Jim Guthrie. What was your participation in that record like?
Well, I had known Nick Thorburn for a few years at that point. We had met through like mutual friends, and I guess when they were pretty much done that record, they had a couple more songs to record, and they just called me up and asked if I wanted to do a few overdubs. And so I came in and I played guitar on a couple things, but I wasn't really, you know, it wasn't like I was in the band or they weren't asking me to join the band. But then when it came time to tour, they just said, you know, we'd love to play with you some more, so why don't you just come out on tour with us? So I was in Ireland for a few of the tours, but it just turned out that they just toured so much, way more than I was used to, and I had all these other things that I wanted to do. So you know, we played a bunch and then kind of went our separate ways. But you know, Nick and I have made more music since then together, and we did like the Human Highway record. So that's like Nick and I as well. Nick has done a ton of stuff. He's like one of the hardest working guys in indie rock.
Now, if you could fast forward to April 2012, you're on stage getting an award for your video game music specifically. I know it's kind of a cliched question, but never actually asked it before. What was it like getting such an award?
You know, I guess it was just a little shocking and a little, like, humbling and a little, like, the game's just sort of done really well in a way that we never thought it. It just like when you make a game, you sort of in the back of your mind, you're sort of hoping, and there's a part of you that's just like, oh yeah, this game's gonna rule and everybody's gonna like it. But I mean, you know, people make lots of games and lots of records and lots of things that just don't sort of catch on. And Sword and Sorcery was a really different sort of game, and almost not even really a game at times. And you know, so people either really love it or they don't get it. They don't like it, and they'll give it like a one star, or they'll write a review about it, and they'll just say they think it sucks and it's whatever. So, you know, but we were lucky in that we had enough people. We just had a big sort of fan base, you know, in a pretty short amount of time. So, you know, all this to say that it's just been sort of one shock after another, sort of one moment after another, where we just can't believe the way that people are, you know, into the game. And so when I won the award for the music, you know, I was, obviously I was really hoping that would be the case, but I wasn't expecting it at all. I was just, it was a huge thrill. I was actually, I have no idea what I said when I went up. I might have been a little drunk, definitely nervous, and I probably didn't thank everybody that I wanted to, or say it as whatever, say it with any sort of, you know, like grace that I wanted to say it. But yeah, it was a huge thrill for me to be up on stage, and everybody else who made games, that, you know, everybody else who was there had made some pretty great games and put a lot of work into them. So, you know, it's, how do these things get decided? I have no idea, but yeah, it was pretty cool to win Best Music for sure. I've got it upstairs in the living room.
Yeah, it looks pretty heavy.
It's super heavy. It's like you could definitely kill a large animal with that award. It's got these like sharp kind of pointy leaf edges. It's like a giant maple leaf. And yeah, if you raise that above your head and came down on like, say, like a bison or something like that, you could definitely win the fight, I think.
I like that a bison is the animal of choice.
it's a big animal, and I think that would be hard to take down without using that award. I'll say that.
That could be your future album cover.
Yeah, maybe like fighting a rabid bison with the award, perhaps.
So do you have any future releases or collaborations in mind?
You know, there's a bunch of, there's sort of a regular, going back to sort of regular indie rock gym record that I've been working on for a while, and that I'm kind of struggling to find the time, get all the people organized and all my friends and get recording time and stuff like that. But that has to come out by the end of the year, so I guess the fall of 2012 that should come out. And, you know, there's lots of different chit-chat about maybe I might help out with some other games, but it's too soon to tell. Like, you know, it wouldn't be anything, like, super big or huge, just more of making games with friends and stuff like that. It's just sort of keeping it in the community. And
so I do have one final question, perhaps okay. The toughest question. Best video game soundtrack, in your opinion, what is it?
It is a very, very, very hard question. If I didn't mention, you know, all the music from, like, the Mario series, I would be lying, you know. I would be trying to be too cool for school if I didn't mention those guys like that. And mention that music, that's pretty much, you know, that's what started it all.
Jim Guthrie, it has been an absolute pleasure to chat with you today. The best way to draw this session to a close is with one more track from the great iOS game that is Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery. And that is And We Got Older on 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver.
I'm hungry.
Me too.
And why is she eating that stuff? She must have picked it up from her trip back home. The smell's making me sick. Don't you think she should eat it somewhere else?
No, that's disrespectful toward Parveen. Actually, I think it's great that we can enjoy different foods.
What would you do if you were this witness? Safe Harbor Respect for All provides diversity workshops across Canada with funding from the Government of Canada. Visit safeharbor.ca. Respect for all. Pass it on.
Thank you.
2:54 is Hannah and Colette Thurlow, two UK darlings who blew up so quickly. Kerrang and NME profiled them in issues released on the very same day. That's 2:54, as in the time at the point of the Melvins track History of Bad Men, where things get crazy. Good choice, ladies. Before that, here on Shameless, a band that plays like it's 2:54 all the time, the Carnival Band, or at least their saxophonist, Tim Sars, with Swayze the Cat. And the along with the rest of Carnival Band, we're playing at the Railway Club tonight. And usually, Commercial Drive has a hard time handling the energy that comes out of the Carnival Band. I do not know how the Railway Club will fare, but I can guarantee you it will be a good time. Though, before we go any further, I cannot conclude this edition of Shameless without paying tribute to MCA of the Beastie Boys, who passed away recently. And you know, one of the first reasons that I had for getting into radio was so that my friends and I could play the Beastie Boys on the air for all to hear. And I guess my friends aren't here, but I still am. And the Beastie Boys still were too. So here from their latest and final record, Hot Sauce Committee Part 2, and keeping as best I can with the video game theme, here is Funky Donkey, two members of the Kong family, on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Woo! Put this on a zip disk, send it to your lawyer. File me on the funky. Like sipping lemonade in an old karma, big holiday parties like Dolly Parton.
Sometimes I get pad thai as a starter, my upper order pad see you is much darker.
I'm horror fits, I take a schvitz, I'm known for my glamour and my glitz. Tricking some mess, I really must skin crust. Like a phone rust with diamond fairy dust.
I don't wear Crocs and I don't wear sandals. The ball don't work cause the vandals took the handles.
Stop singing that song in the wrong key. What you like it?
A funky donkey. About the weather, go shave a sheep and knit yourself a sweater.
Don't get me heated or y'all in trouble. Bass spins boom and make the dance hall bubble.
I'm in the hole, get talking with the ship on the ocean, like Dr. Jekyll with the magic potion.
It's brand new, never ever the same. What's new?
I can't do anything without.
Join the Commodore next Wednesday. That's Best Coast with Crazy For You. And that brings us to an end of another Shameless here on 101.9 FM CITR. Wasn't so bad, if I do say so myself. Big thanks to Jim Guthrie for having a chat and going deep, deep into his methodical process. Sword and Sorcery is the game of what the soundtrack that he made. That's Sorcery with a W. Also, he does a soundtrack to Indie Game, the movie. JimGuthrie.com has more information. All of his new stuff and his old stuff is on there. But you know what? We're talking about creating video game tracks. I got pretty inspired to make my own in the great Mario Paint program for the Super Nintendo. And I thought, hey, since I got this airtime, might as well just share it with you. So here we go. Check this piece of art out. Nice. Arts and crafts, I'll be expecting a record label offer anytime now, anytime. Well, stay tuned to CITR for Folk Oasis with Val, guaranteed to be much classier than this show has been. I leave you now with my pick for one of my favorite soundtracks, aside from what it has played all show. This comes from a very simple platformer out of Quebec called Rayman Origins. The track, Murray of the Deep. Good night, Vancouver.
I wake up in the morning, I eat, I sleep, I shit.
Breakfast with the Browns.
Whatever it is, but I never shut it off for 5 minutes.
I can't wait to impress my friends with my astounding knowledge of cool.
Join your favorite Brownsters and tune in and listen to the best selection of down-tempo electro-pop lounge core.
Strictly Squaresville.
Remember, subtle, basic.
Breakfast with the Browns
on CITR 101.9 FM every Monday morning
from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
The older I get, the more life starts to make sense, and the less I care.
Now we're riding the rainbow across it, and we're making it like him. Now we're riding the rainbow to Clydesville, and we're making it like him. Now we're riding the rainbow to Clydesville.